Good morning. The first lesson of the seventh Sunday after Epiphany is from the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The psalm this morning is Psalm 37, which we will read together. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land, and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. The second lesson this morning is from the first book of Corinthians, the 15th chapter. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Here ends the readings.
Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite any of our children here to come forward for a children's message. Come on up. You're missing a sister or two. Got one coming. We have two coming. We got all three coming? Good. All the Diaz girls. All right. Come on up. Perfect. Good. Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad you're all here today. So, is today a special day for some of you?
Yes. It's
our first day of communion. It's your first communion day. Yeah, this is kind of a special day, isn't it? For some of our bigger kids, not our biggest kids, but our bigger kids, right?
No, I'm big, and I have a lot of
kids. Yeah, maybe in a little bit, and maybe not either. So maybe in a few years, huh? Maybe soon.
But
you'll be six soon. Well, cool, very cool. Yeah. So my students, who Maggie and Jack and Luke, those of you who have done classes with me, this is one of the things I wanted. Luke, could you help me with something? Could you come here? That's the job. Please sit right here next to me, because this is what I want you to help me with. Do you remember, this was kind of fun, is during our first communion class, you told me that when I stand up behind that altar, I say something special. What words do I say that are the special words?
Amen.
In the night?
In the night, he's been betrayed. Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks.
Gave
it to his disciples to eat.
What did he say?
He said, take and eat this. My body is for you. Do this for the ones of me.
He did. And then what did he do?
Then he said, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples to drink. He said, take a drink. This wine will come into my blood. Give strength for all people. Do this for the ones of me.
Very good. I think you have a future in ministry.
I always remember that.
You always remember that, yeah. And Liam, you said something. You said something when we're holding that special bread. What do we do then?
Broke it in half.
You guys have really good memories. Yeah.
You always tell me that.
I tell you that every Sunday, don't I? You're right. I tell everybody that every Sunday. Yeah, you're right. But I have a question now. Some of you are going to have your first communion today, but there are a couple of you here who are not going to take communion today, right? Maybe Sadie and Liam and Anna. Does little Anna take communion?
No.
She's pretty little. She's kind of little.
But
Liam, come here. I want to ask you something. When you come up to communion, what special thing do I do for you?
Yeah.
What do I do? What sign do I make on your forehead? What does it look like?
A cross.
Yeah. Now I have a question. Today's a special First Communion for some of you guys, and some of the rest of you are going to get special little crosses on your forehead too. Is there ever a time when you're not welcome to come up here?
No.
What if you've been really kind of naughty to your brothers or sisters or cousin? Does that mean you can't have communion?
Super mean.
It's mean. But does Jesus still love you?
Yes.
Is Jesus' body and blood and communion still given for you? It's still given for you. This is the incredible thing, is sometimes we do things that aren't very nice, right? Liam, come sit here by me. Sometimes we do things that aren't very nice, but Jesus still loves us, right?
Yeah, why?
Well, we're going to hear in our gospel lesson that sometimes people...
He told me that.
Yeah, but sometimes people aren't mean to us. How do you think we should respond? Should we be mean back to them?
No, we have to just take our time, be patient.
Take our time, be patient. And you know how we can show them that God loves them?
Because every time that's why we have communion.
It is, but how can we show them that God loves them? What's something that we can do?
We have to be patient.
Let me ask Lisa, Maggie, what's something that you can do that shows other people, even if they've been mean to you, that God loves them? What if Sadie, stole your favorite toy? You have done that before? You've done that exact thing? It's as if I knew. So Maggie, if your sister did something kind of mean, what's one way that you could show God's love to her? You didn't yell at her and steal your toy back? What do you think you could do?
Give her a present.
Yeah.
We have to ask.
Nice.
We also have to use our words.
Using our words, yeah. Yeah.
And I'll give her a toy.
Sometimes that's hard to do.
And maybe share.
There you go. Yeah, sometimes that's hard to do, but that's kind of what Jesus asks us to do. All right? Well, I'm going to let you guys go back to your seats, and I'll see you up here a little bit later, okay? Thank you.
And then we get finally to.
I should say, taking communion today are Maggie Diaz, Jack Ospital, and Abraham Lincoln. Is that who he's dressed as? Abraham Lincoln, taking first communion today. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you give us so much. You give us your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. You give us the promise of new life. We pray that in this world that you have placed us in, that we would be bold in returning those to the world. In your name we pray.
Amen.
So in our lesson from Luke today, it has a line that you probably have heard before, or have heard a variation of it before. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Or do unto you. How many of you heard do unto others as you have heard them do unto you? Yes. Okay, you've probably heard this a few times before. This is known as
Golden rule.
Golden rule, yes. This is do unto others or do to others as you would have them do to you. This is known as the golden rule, and it actually got that name in the early 17th century by an Anglican theologian who decided to apply that and say this is the golden rule. Why he picked that one, we're never quite sure. There's a whole lot of rules in the Bible. But he said that's the golden rule. And the reason why it might be the golden rule is because as Christians, we don't have monopoly on this one. I mean, it's an important one, and it's kind of core to who we are, but we are not the only ones who have this. This is one of those rules or idioms or maxims that appear in religions and faiths and philosophies across the world. There's this wonderful graphic that I couldn't find, but I have it somewhere, that shows basically variations of this do to others as you would have done unto you in about 12 different faiths and religion. It's incredible to see how they all have that. And so it's like, well, if all those people are doing it, maybe it is a pretty good one. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus couches it on both sides by giving some examples of ways that we can do this, about ways that we can respond. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. And then comes the line that's so hard to hear. If anyone strikes you on the cheek,
offer the other also. One thing that this lesson is not is an excuse for abuse. Unfortunately, this line has been used for that many, many times in our history. It is not, nor is it ever, an excuse for abuse. If it is used as such, then it is misconstruing what Jesus has in mind. When Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other, he is not saying give permission for that. But what he was doing is saying, you still have power in that situation. In situations of abuse, there is one person with and one person without power. But Jesus is saying, in places where you both have power, love the one who hates you. Do good to your enemies. Bless those who curse you. For in doing so, you remove the power from their ability to cause pain. My favorite example of this, and I've told it many, many times, and it's perfect for my friends who are here with little siblings today, is I have an older brother. I mean, he's almost 40 now, so this doesn't apply quite for a few decades, but when we were younger, he would pick on me all the time, because he's a big brother, and that's what he is meant to do. It's kind of his job. And he would pick on me all the time, and my little sister as well, and of course we'd go and tattle to our mother, who would say, don't react to him. Just don't react to him, and he'll leave you alone. And though what I wanted to do was yell and fight back and push, if I didn't react to him, then eventually that taunting would turn into playfulness. Eventually that meanness, that one who was my enemy would become my friend. Because in that, my mother, wise beyond her years, was telling me as a little child to remove his power to cause me pain. I've been thinking about this gospel lesson a lot this week. I was at a meeting this past Wednesday. Vicar Maria and I were with a group of clergy and church leaders from around the city of La Habra. And we're kind of talking about different ministries that we do and how we as a church, as individual churches, serve our community. And there was this one church where it's a father and actually his adult daughter who are both pastors at this church. And they were telling us a little bit about what they do. And they said, you know, we are really called to serve the people of La Habra. And then he kind of paused. He says, a lot of times Christians get a bad rap. Because it's as if when we do things out of love, we have some sort of ulterior motive. And he said, unfortunately, for a lot of times, that's true. We do things thinking, ah, maybe we'll get somebody into our church. Maybe we'll have them come help us serve. Maybe they'll give to our church. Or even not just for our church, but ah, we'll do this, and then they'll get saved. And he said, we have stopped thinking that way. We love our neighbors because we're told to do so. We love our neighbors because we are told to do so, without any expectation of anything in return. And what he was saying is the heart of this gospel. Do the same. Give even if you do not expect to give to earn in return. Love even those who hate you. And that's a nice thing as a church for us to say. I mean, how do we really live that out? Because when somebody comes at me, when somebody attacks me or my family, do I really expect to return in love? If I really live that way, then will I be the one who is cursed? Will I be the one whose possessions are gone, the one who is beaten and who is penniless? It's a frightening prospect to consider. It's a beautiful idiom, and it's lovely when it's cross-stitched on a pillow, but how do we live that out? There's a theologian named David Lowe, who I like to read and study and utilize. And regarding this text, he opened it up quite a bit, and he said,
What if we look at this not as a command, but as a promise? It said all these things: love your enemy, do what is good, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. We can look at those as being Jesus' command to us: do this. And of course, we know we're going to fall short, because as soon as we leave here, somebody's going to cut you off, and you're not exactly going to pray for that person in the car. You may say something else about them. But Dr. Lowe says, what if instead of seeing this as Jesus' command to how we are supposed to live, what if instead we see this as a promise? What if instead of a list of commands and demands, this is a vision for a whole new world, a new kingdom, the kingdom of God here on earth? As if saying, if we could live this way, we would bring about the kingdom of God. If you could love your enemies, and they then in turn would love their enemies, and they would love their enemies, that would be the kingdom of God manifest here in this world. And that's the hard part of this lesson. Because if someone strikes me, I'm not really going to turn the other cheek. I'm not really going to lend someone money without expectation of it in return. But what if instead of a command, this is a promise? And Jesus says, just try it. Try it and see what I can do. See what kind of world I can create. I can create a new vision for the world. I can create a new kingdom. I had that picture of our students, of our confirmand, or of our high school students. And a few weeks ago, our confirmation students, our junior high students, went on retreat. And there's a reason why things like retreats and going away are so important to not only young people, but adults alike. There's some deep faith formation, some deep growth that happens in those times. And the exact same lessons, the exact same stories, well, except for, in this case, minus the snow and the farm animals at the barn, all of those could be recreated here, right? We can have bands here, we can have workshops here, we can have lessons here, we can have playtimes here. But when they are removed and go away to a new world, when they go up the mountain into snow and they pet chickens and they play with other kids, it's as if there is a vision for a different world where this reality that Jesus tells us could be possible. And for that brief moment, we can see what that new worldview would look like, what that new kingdom would look like. For us as Christians, the golden rule is more than just good advice. In verse 35, partway through, there's a turning point. There's a refocusing of this, where it stops being do this and instead focuses on why. It says, your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That's different from the golden rule that says, love your enemies, love your neighbors. But instead, it gives us the why. Do so because your reward will be great, because your God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. When we want vengeance against those who have harmed us, God is kind to the ungrateful. When we want retribution and fairness, God is forgiving to the wicked. So the reason that we have this golden rule is not just because it's a nice axiom, not just because it makes a cute phrase, but because we are to be merciful just as our Father is merciful. So, who are we supposed to compare ourselves to? Be merciful as your Father is merciful. We compare ourselves to God. We strive for that kind of mercy. And in this text, who does it say that we should compare other people to? Any guesses? Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
This is the amazing part about this story. It says, compare yourself, be yourself merciful as your Father is merciful. But when it comes to other people, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. This is the crux of our gospel lesson today. When in doubt, err on the side of love. When you want to be vengeful, err on the side of love. When you want retribution, when you want to react in anger, err on the side of love. God will take care of the vengeance, the retribution, the justification, and the judgment. But for you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you. I want to end with a simple little exercise. So I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. We're going to do a little visioning, a little imagining. Imagine someone you dislike. Someone who bothers you. Someone who angers you or humiliates you. Someone who has made you feel small or insignificant. Someone who has harmed you or your family or your loved ones. Imagine how you would like to respond. It may not be pretty. And then make the decision to step into Christ's promise of what the kingdom can look like if we err on the side of love. If to that one we are imagining, we love our enemy. To that one we are picturing, we do good to the one who hates us. To that one who makes us feel less than, we bless those who curse us. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Err on the side of love. And live into that model Christ has set for us. Amen.